Welcome to Mornings with Box 2 Radio, a broadcast that is centered around news and views, Bible Q&A, and special guests. Now get ready, because it's time to scramble those eggs, brew that coffee, and open that Bible, and let's jump into Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Well, good morning out there in radio lands. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, let me just declare over you, He is more than enough. Welcome in on this Thursday, March 20th, 2025. Good morning to Highsville, Glasgow, 91.1, Litchfield, Hardinsburg, 91.5, and Owensboro, Kentucky, 98.3. It's going to be a good day, as Frank Forrest sings in that song, "Good's going to be a good day." Hallelujah. Well, it's Thursday, and we've got with us Brother Greg Carwell. How you doing, Brother Greg?
I'm doing just fine, Brother Aaron.
Oh, we're going to get you a shirt one day that says that. That has become your staple statement.
No, I can't take it. That's Rogers. And, you know, that's just a tribute to
Rogers.
Roger.
He has to transfer the mantle sometime.
I am keeping his traditional life. I'm doing just fine, brother.
and Miss Renee's back with us this week after feeling much better this week, hopefully. How are you doing, Miss Renee?
I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here. I'm really shocked, though. You've shaved.
I did
shave.
Where
did your beard go? It's dropped 10 years off of you.
Yeah, that's what my wife likes, I think.
She likes you to have a beard or no beard?
No beard.
Yeah,
she
has
no beards. And it just, I said, we'll just take some hair and glue it on my face for the play or whatever it takes.
Oh, my heart is going to cry. I was getting ready to ask you, when is Miss Hannah coming back?
Yeah, she had to.
Just dropped off baby.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, I offered to hold the baby today while you all did the broadcast. I offered.
He did.
Yeah. And if he's busy, you can call me. I'll hold it.
So on Thursdays,
you got a lot of help.
Crew.
Yeah.
Now, is this your first day back?
Monday.
Yeah,
okay.
She's been with
Monday.
Us this week, and so it's been a really good week, and we're glad to have Miss Hannah back. And
it's good to see you.
Yes, I wished I knew you were going to be here today. I would have brought your gift. Yeah.
Well,
I'll be here next Thursday.
Okay, you'll be here next Thursday.
Lord willing.
And again, we talked. I gave the testimony Monday, but the men's conference. It was an awesome time. It was very awesome time in the presence of the Lord. You all did an amazing job putting that on.
Well, praise God.
I loved all the little details you all did. They didn't go unnoticed. The little wood stumps, I guess, with the cards. Those were amazing. Those were really cool.
I have to say, we have this lady at our church that does the decorating. She's so gifted. So you just say what you're going to do. And you cast the vision, and she goes and does it.
Well,
and so
you make sure you pass that word on that it was so well done.
You should see our Passover; it's absolutely stunning when we do Passover.
Yeah,
and then we're having a women's conference. We're hosting it for Judy Jones this year.
Okay,
April the 5th. So, the lady at our church, her wheels are already turning. She's so excited. So, but I think when we do something, we should do it in excellence. But we have a little small congregation, but our people are so gifted and talented and giving. And they just, I said, it's rare that you can find a church that you can leave and there's every member of the church could preach a message.
Yeah.
They all have the word, so we're very thankful for that. So
yeah, there was true gifting around the mashed potatoes too.
Was there? I made those mashed potatoes. I did make the mashed.
There's anointing there.
I did not. And the brisket.
That was
Deborah's,
good.
Her niece's husband smoked the brisket.
It was very good, and the fried chicken that was really good too. But
well, good so great.
I'm sorry I missed it. I missed out what I'd done, but I had promised a gentleman that I'd help him with his rear suspension on his truck. He'd got some helper bags and stuff to go on there, and I told him Saturday would be a good day to do it. And
ask you real quick, what was your thoughts about my husband? It's the first time you've met him, right?
Oh,
you met him at Cracker Barrel. But
I didn't meet him at Cracker Barrel,
like,
but I really liked him a lot.
Well, good.
Brother, he has a really, he has a sweet, gentle spirit about
him. He does.
Him. Yeah.
He's a crier.
Yeah.
He's a crier.
It was so good, though. And it was great to see, I think there was four to five, six different pastors in the room.
Mm-hmm. And there were several that didn't get to come that day that were supposed to come, weather, sick, or whatever.
Can I ask you a question about, I've never met him, but was he a crier before?
A little bit, but not like this. No, not
like
this.
It seems like the Lord does that. Like because I cry now and used to.
He's a big crier.
Yeah.
He can't tell a story. I mean,
I wouldn't even put Visine in my eyes, back in the day.
Well, we weren't there. We weren't there. So one of the gentlemen in the sound booth videotaped. And the women just wept because we saw all these men with their hands lifted in the air,
absolutely,
worshiping. And it was like, it just captured your heart. And
it was powerful.
Mm-hmm. So, but the report that came back just from everybody was they were so excited for next year. So, but my husband said, you did a great job. He said it was really good. Really good.
Pastor Dwayne Kidd sends this word. He said, as he was sharing the announcements last night for their ladies' conference, April 5th, I was telling them how extraordinary it was for the men, and he could only imagine what it would be like for the ladies coming up. So,
Amen.
It was a great day. And thank you so much for doing that, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. Of course, we've got our ladies' meeting here
tomorrow night,
6 o'clock p.m., potluck starts. Remember, bring that dish that hits the memories.
Remind you of your favorite family meals.
And if all else fails, bring a lot of bacon, and I'll help finish that after I play drums that night. I have no problem with that. bacon or cheesecake, I'm cool. I mean, but it is going to be a great night for the ladies. Miss Rigdon is going to be speaking. I've never heard Miss Rigdon speak, but I have heard a lot of positive. Pastor Dwayne Kidd even said today she's just an amazing speaker, strong anointing. So it's going to be a very powerful.
Awesome.
Time for the ladies tomorrow night.
Well, we'll trust Brother Dwayne.
Amen.
He seems credible.
Yeah, and Dwayne, I'm gonna try to call you today or tomorrow. There is some more information on Puerto Rico that I was going to get to you, so I'll get with him soon. But going to be going back down there sooner than later, probably. But it's going to be, and then of course the Kenya missionary fundraiser for Shepherd's House in Glasgow, Kentucky, this Saturday, starting at 3:30. Help raise money for their Kenya missions. That starts at 3:30. Again, you can find more information on our app under the events tab. And then our share-a-thons next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We've got a slew of guests coming on in those 3 days, and a lot of testimonies, a lot of words going to go forth, mm-hmm, a lot of fellowship, a lot of great food. And we are just excited. We ask you to prayerfully consider. We only do it 2 times a year. We don't. I can tell you that mine and Hannah's least favorite part of this thing is asking for funds. I would love to just get on there for 3 days and just talk to a slew of people.
Spend time together with the Lord. I mean, we end up doing that.
That's
but
pretty
then
much
every
what
once
we do.
In a while, we have to throw in the the reason why we're here.
But it does take funds to pay the electric bill sometimes, and it does take funds to. If y'all only knew what our electric bills were, you would understand why we sometimes need help. And so we just ask 2 times a year. We're not a radio station that drives this over and over, and we're not playing a spot every other song or every other thing saying, we need money, we need money. It's just like 2 times a year we try to humbly come on and ask, would you be prayerfully considerate to give and help and partner with us? And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the generosity that you all have given in the past.
Amen.
And you guys are just amazing in that. I love one of the things about our share-a-thon that's different than others is a lot of share-a-thons that people pledge, and usually sitting around 50 to 55% of the pledges come in when it's all said and done. Our share-a-thons run anywhere from, I think the lowest I ever seen was like 89 or 88%. Last share-a-thon is 94 to 95%, I think, come in. Most of the time we're pushing towards 100%. So it's like
praise
the faithfulness
God.
Of the partners who say we're going to give, and they give. And it's humbling at times that you guys would sow into what the Lord's doing here. And we honor you and appreciate you tremendously for that. So that's again next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Breakthrough Ministries there in Edmonton, Kentucky with Pastor Adam Burton. They're going to have their Glory Conference April 11th and 12th. And then Pastor Dwayne Kidd and Creekside Church invites you out to the community tent meeting April 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Amen.
I want to encourage, too, from just a pastor's perspective, like for our congregation, is that we've committed to give monthly. You know, it's based on a percentage that we have, you know. And so if some congregations want to just even partner monthly with Box 2, with a percentage of the giving given to them to give out to somebody else, you know, because if we've been given to, we also want to support other ministries. I feel like there's, you know, that's what I loved about the men's conference this year was so many pastors connected. Like, you know, Kenny and I see Brother Philip and Dwayne Kidd and the Way Church. We don't see them. We see them as enhancing what God's doing in our lives.
Amen.
We want to support them. We like to reach out. Hey, what are you doing? Like, a lot of my family goes to the Way. My, you know, my daughter and her husband and my son's wife and their five kids. And, you know, I'm like, Pastor Paul, you're feeding my kids. You know, you're feeding my... So it's a ministry, you know. And then Brother Kidd, just what he does for the children and...
Release time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tremendous. And then, so, you know, you might not be able to be connected with every church, but you can be connected with those around you. And so we're parts of the body that are connected. And you cannot say you don't need that other part. They have something you don't have. Amen. And so that's what I've loved about Bethel. Bethel's always had a vision of connecting ministries. And so, you know, if you're not, maybe you don't come to the radio, or maybe you're not, you don't know that much about it, but you just want to help be connected together. I believe there's a prophetic blessing that comes on that.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah, and something that I share every time is, you know, we're being blessed here. Those of us who are here laboring, like, we get blessed from the radio, too. And so if by listening and being fed through the programs that are playing throughout the day and the word that the Lord's speaking to us. So if you've ever been blessed, I mean, I know for a fact that if you've tuned into Box 2, at some point you've received a word that you needed to hear from the Lord. And I don't take that very lightly, you know.
Amen.
Like, if it's the word of the Lord, like, that's valuable to me. And for that to be continuing to pump out 24/7 and somebody tune in and get a word of the Lord that changes their life, I think that that's pretty valuable. So I think it's worthy of sowing into.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah. And that was the first time I ever met Pastor Paul, but I liked him a lot. I liked him a lot, really. Gave a powerful testimony about some of the Lord's doing there that day, and it was awesome.
Got a real heart for broken people. Of
yeah.
course, all churches should have that, but Paul especially just has. I love, like, when it was cold this winter, Paul just opened the church and said, there's food, just be respectful, and if you need somewhere to sleep. And
yeah.
so, you know, and Brother Phillips got such a father's heart, you know, like, if it just, it's every ministry just has a different stroke of color, you know.
Amen.
Of the canvas of what God's doing. And so I we're just passionate. And my husband wasn't raised in church, so he's so innocent with church stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when he looks at all these great men of God, he just sees nothing but honor and just build and come together and this camaraderie and just, you know, we're a team. And so he would never even feel competitive in the things of God. Like, sometimes I'll look at him and I'll say, you're just so innocent. He is, Greg. He's innocent.
Well, that's
and
good.
I can't say I am.
I think there is a generation, like, I've talked to a lot of people and met a lot of people, my husband included, that didn't grow up in church, and there is a difference there. And I think the Lord allows, you know, there's such a blessing upon the life, like a faster growth sometimes when they seek him redeeming the time that they weren't, you know, in the body. But also, like what you're saying, like, they don't have that religious mindset, like the propensity to think that way and the strongholds. So I think that's part
good.
Of it. Like, they can think clearly about it because they weren't tainted by that religion, you know, growing up. So I'm thankful for those in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well,
I got one announcement here.
Greg's got an announcement?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So we do every fifth Sunday, we have a youth service. My wife just texted me, so I wouldn't have remembered. But anyway, which way? So March 30th at 6 o'clock at Clarkson Community. I think her says we got about 7 churches joining, and it's just a youth-led service. So we're trying to get all the youth involved. And, again, this ain't like what you were talking about, being competitive or nothing like that. We're not trying to compete or nothing like that. We just want to bring all the youth together. And it didn't matter who you're from, where, whatever. Just come and worship the Lord and participate. if you have if your children sing or have a praise team, we'll let them sing, you know, and it's just youth-led service, and we're trying to put together in the community just to bring all the communities together. And I think like I said, there's supposed to be 7 churches involved this time. So if anybody wants to come out on that, and that is Clarkson Community at 6 o'clock on March the 30th at Clarkson Community Church, that'd be, well, you're more welcome. Come on.
Amen.
So I have some events to get on the calendar on the app. I need to get a reminder from you, Renee, so I can make sure to put that, and then I'll probably recheck back in with you, Greg, to make sure it's all right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
amen.
It
awesome.
Is. Like I said, we it started out just a couple churches. Now I'm terrible. I can't remember, but I think first night was maybe 2 or 3, and then we held one over in Hudson. Like, we went to Hudson Church and had held it there, and then now, let's say we're the last one we had back at our church again, I think it was, and some of the from Hudson come, and then there's other ones too. I just can't remember who all is involved, but everybody is welcome. You know, we just want to build these children, bring them together. You know, to where, I mean, they are they're the generation coming up. They are the next generation to go into the government, you know, the next wave of whatever, you know. You know, they're the next generation coming up, so let's train them in the way they should go and teach them about the Lord.
So does the youth preach too?
Yeah, they preach.
Wow.
It's
they
completely
do it all.
It's
wow,
completely
that's wonderful.
Youth. Yeah, so they yeah. they now I don't know, you know, some of them preach, some of them just give their testimony. Just, you know, whatever the Lord lays on their heart to do. We want to keep, you know, of course we got our boundaries, you know, but we just want to let the Lord lead the children and let the children listen to the Lord and be led by the Lord and lead to service. And that's our goal, you know, is to have these kids, you know, seeking the Lord for the word and seeking for the songs and seeking for, you know, train them as the way they should go, you know,
wow.
Seek the Lord. So,
that's good. That's good.
All right. Well, we are going into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are in the middle of verse 10. We've been on 10 since Tuesday. Actually, we may have actually been there since Monday. I think we have been there since Monday.
Yeah, we went really slow. It's spiritual gifts.
Oh, we're still on prophecy? I'm pretty sure I sent you a text on prophecy.
We are at the to another various kinds of tongues and to another interpretation of tongues is where we're at. And so the gifts of tongues, and I think it's very important to understand there to the another various diversities. I think the King James used the word diversity. But there's various kinds. I don't think this is exclusive just to like a prayer language or what we would call as like tongues. I think tongues is involved in that. But I've also seen people get giftings to speak another language and to interpret another language. They're sitting there praying, and all of a sudden it was reported they were praying in German and didn't even know German. And so I think there's a hint of that too, that it's various, it's diversities, there's a different kinds, there's a multifaceted group of tongues that God gives, and could be a prayer language, could be the tongues as that fell on Acts chapter 2, it could be the an unlearned but known tongue, like we just get that supernatural ability. Perry Stone's dad, Fred Stone, he did that quite often in his ministry, that he would just be praying or speaking and he would like start speaking a foreign language he didn't know. I've heard of this quite often on the mission field of people understanding things. And it actually happened last time in Puerto Rico. Kaylee doesn't know Spanish, but she's starting to interpret. Like she just like they're saying stuff and she's just kind of like, I think I know what that means. And she really don't know what it means, but I think the Lord was helping her understand what that means. And I remember one time she was listening to somebody and she just said, this is what they said. I'm like, do you speak Spanish? No. I do think that kind of stuff does happen. Mm. And there's giftings for that. So I think I don't want to be exclusive just to the tongue that was given by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I want to make sure that we're being observant to the diversity of tongues or the various kinds of tongues. I think there is a plurality to them. And he gives us, just like earlier when he says the gifts
of healing, not just the gift of healing. It's actually the gifts of healing.
Wow.
And there's many different giftings of healings that deposited in the body of Christ.
Mm. Can I tell a cool story?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, Fred Stone has been to our church.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has. It was before he passed. But anyway, I heard the story of this young Jewish journalist, and she went somewhere, and it was a black African-American church, but they were spirit-filled.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a baptism taking place, and she went for being more of a spectator. She was not a believer. And I don't know if this was a big revival going on or what it was, but her assignment was to go and to interview and to report back what was going. So when this person was being baptized, I think it was a woman actually baptizing the man or woman, I'm not real sure, but she was begin to pray in the spirit. And when she did, her tongue was Hebrew. But she didn't know that. She didn't know that. Hmm. So she began to pray. And when she did, they baptized whoever this was. And the young Jewish girl could understand Hebrew, and she knew this woman didn't know Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's saying, when the person's coming up out of the water, that Yeshua is the Messiah.
Wow.
And that she got saved. And she would go on to become a believer and had a ministry, and she was telling her story.
Hmm.
So there's just, I love how that God meets us where we're at.
Absolutely.
No matter where we're at. If we can't, He breaks language barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be like even language. It can be our process of thinking. I don't know about you, Greg or Hannah, but sometimes God has to break my process of thinking because I can't think outside the box.
Hmm.
But He can. So that's just God's way to just interrupt us to bring us further into the kingdom.
Absolutely.
And so I believe that gifting was there not to say, hey, you can speak Spanish or whatever it is. You're able to reach that person right where they're at, whether it's tongue, ideology, strongholds, whatever. He can break through to bring us the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all for His glory. You know, it's all to show His power and His love for us, too, because I mean, He don't have to do it, but He does it so that we can see Him. You know, the whole thing is to glorify Him.
Mm.
And how else, you know, could a person that don't speak Hebrew pray in Hebrew perfectly to where a young girl could understand what, you know, by God? You know,
amen.
Like you said, you got to have your perspective changed or whatever. You know, and I've said it like this 100 times. We, all of us, were stuck between our ears and behind our eyes. And that's pretty self-centered. You know, everywhere you look, you're in the middle looking out. And, you know, between your ears and behind your eyes is a pretty small place.
Oh, wow.
It takes the Lord to give you a perspective outside of that. You know, if He doesn't, we're stuck there. And that can be a very condemning place at times, you know, when we're just, yeah. So
That's good. That's a good word. Good word.
And then He moves on to another, the interpretation of tongues. And that's a powerful one because Paul's going to get into into 1 Corinthians 14 in a little while about prophecy and speaking in other known languages. But what good is it to speak in an unknown language if there is no interpretation? He kind of gives us that context a little bit. Like he's saying, if they're going to be an open use of the tongue, then make sure there's an interpretation. If not, it's better to speak in prophecy than it is tongues. And we're going to get into that in 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll talk a little bit more about that there. But the interpretation of tongues, again, I do believe it is could be an interpretation of spiritual tongues, and then it could be an interpretation of an unknown tongue that you just never knew. And I've seen both happen in the body of Christ, and both were edifying, and both were equipping, and both brought glory to God. And so I think there's just that aspect of it. Now, I'm a person who believes wholeheartedly in tongues, in our prayer language, in the spiritual tongue. Do I think it's been misused and abused over the years? Yes, I do. I think it's been misapplied. I think it's been misused. Again, I love how Paul's going to do a lot with the spiritual gifts because he never stops us from doing it. This is what I've said so many times. He's never stopping us from doing the spiritual gifts. But what he's doing is he's giving us the guardrails to keep moving forward without falling off the cliff. And guardrails protect you from falling off the road. It's not really stopping you from going forward. And what Paul's saying is, don't do this, because that's what the Corinth church was doing. They were abusing the gift in a lot of areas, and it was chaos and it was disorder. And the Holy Spirit's never about chaos and disorder. He's about order, and He's about everything bringing glory to Christ. He's going to build it. The whole point of the spiritual gifts are up in the first part of 1 Corinthians 12, when it says for the common good. It's for the commonality, for the goodness of the whole body, for the building up of our faith. That's going back to Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold giftings right there. Is what? For the building up of the body until a perfect man has come, that we may be equipped for the work of the ministry. And so that's what the spiritual gifts are for, not for you to be built, like not for your ministry to be built up just for your sake, not for pride, not for arrogance, not for I can speak in tongues, I can prophesy, I can do this, I can heal, I can do all this. It's that the common good of the body of Christ is being built into, and the manifestation of the Spirit is for everybody, not just so that we can put our name on a card saying prophet so-and-so.
Yeah, it's not for you. It's to glorify the Lord. All of it, all of this is to glorify God and to show, you know, it's all, it. That's our whole purpose, is to glorify the Lord. That's why the Lord has showed us. He says, not my will, but your will be done, you know, in his example to us. It's because if we surrender to him and allow the Lord to work in us, the work that he does in us, people can see that it's no way it could be us, that it has to be the Lord. Therefore, he is glorified in it, you know, and not anything of us, but it's all of him. It's all to glorify the Lord.
Yeah.
Do you think the benefit of speaking in tongues, I know the Bible talks about it a little bit with, like, it's building not yourself up as in pride, but, like, your spirit. Do you think it's similar to fasting? Like, that it's getting you, like, when done in, you know, in the right heart, that it's focusing you in on the Lord? Like, it's when our mind can be so distracted, like it's zoning us in, I guess, is the way to.
I think, or is it a result of that? You know what I'm saying? Maybe because of that, that is the result. It, you know, the speaking in tongues is because of that focusing in, maybe.
Yeah. I think for me, fasting is removing the flesh and closing the mouth so I can open my mouth in prayer. It's repositioning myself to say, I want him more than natural things. I want him more than the flesh. I want him, and I'm going to make time for him. I want to meet him. So instead of lunch today, I'm praying. Instead of dinner today, I'm praying. I'm going to give myself. I think fasting is positioning us, whereas tongues, for me, when a spiritual tongue is applied, it's, I believe, the Holy Spirit praying for through us, and who better to pray for and through us than him? Yeah. And I feel like it's his declaration over our life. We're praying stuff that we don't even know what we're always praying for. But I do think that's a powerful point of the prayer language in tongues, is I may not even know what to pray for. And that's why I think it's edify me in the Spirit, is because the one who does know what to pray is Holy Spirit, who lives inside of me. Mm-hmm. And so I guess there is a point you could say that we're surrendering our known language and giving into the, I don't know. I don't know if I would stretch it that way, but
I just see it as kind of coming into alignment with the Spirit. And when you think about really becoming one, his ways are higher than ours, so it makes sense that we won't always understand what he's praying through us, you know?
I would agree with that statement. We are coming into one with
him. Alignment, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I want to jump on what she's saying, because I think I know where she's going. You know, said, I build myself up in the most holy faith when I pray in the Spirit. So it's building the faith. It's building a constitution inside of us. But as you all are all talking, I get pictures sometimes in my head, and I see, you know, you're out at a well and you have this pump.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you're raising it up and down, and you have to pump it in order to get what's down to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's kind of what fasting does. It subdues the flesh in order for that prophetic, the Spirit of God, that Christ, the Christo, the Christ, the manifestation of God to come out of us. So when we're praying in the Spirit, it is pumping that which is already within us, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. The kingdom of God is within you. You know, we have this a treasure in an earthen vessel. And so when we're in carnality or just worldly or babies and doing all this stuff all day long, it's really hard for us to tap into what's inside of us. We are pulling at all of this because the world is so against us. But when we start praying in the Holy Ghost, we're praying at the kitchen sink, we're praying like you're praying in the car, I just see that picture of that old well pump, and you're pumping it, and all of a sudden you feel this life that's inside of you start gushing, and you're going, I wanted to kill them. Now I want to wash their feet. Like, what is this? How can I be cold and hot and mad and love?
Yeah.
Because it's that you know, breaking open, and I believe that's what Paul struggled with the church at Corinth, because they don't really understand that they think they're so spiritual, but yet they're so carnal. And I just believe, like what Hannah's saying, is we have got to break this outer shell. You know, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. I was a homeschool mom, okay? So just learning this with my kids, as I would cry at these books, and I'm going, huh, and they're looking at me like I'm dumb, because I didn't learn anything in school, okay?
Yeah.
But that it has to die. And so I think, like, as we pray in the Holy Spirit or these spiritual disciplines, I think if we could understand we're not doing it to get God to do something for us. We're doing this to get God for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he breaks open, and he just gushes out. But to agree with you also, like, we might pray people into a blender. My friend Howard Morgan, the Jew, always make reference to, he said, your prayers can pray people into a food blender, because you're praying in carnality. But when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, like you're saying, and you're just praying, the Holy Spirit is praying the mysteries of God. He's speaking into that, because he knows that individual that you're interceding for. You're looking and you're only seeing this, but God sees this. I did a message Sunday, and I did a teaching on Mephibosheth, and you know how he went to Lodabar.
Mm-hmm.
And all, we love that story. We love the story of Lodabar and how David comes and he says, is there anyone of the house of Jonathan and Saul that I might show my favor toward? And so we're so captured by the grace of God in this, because that's a story of grace, right?
Committed to King.
But you know what God spoke to me? What was it that got him to Lodabar? What was it? Why was his feet crippled? What crippled his feet and put him in a place where there was no word and no vision? And so it was because the woman, the nurse, heard that Saul had died, and in her mind, she believed David had no good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that when we pray in the Holy Ghost, God changes the narrative. He shows us. And so there's many people that are trapped. They're in. We don't know why they're in Lodabar. I don't know why they get to Lodabar. What crippled their feet to get them to Lodabar? Only God knows. So when we pray in the Holy Ghost, I do believe he reveals the hidden places. Amen.
Amen.
I feel like I'm surrounded with great people of God in this room today.
Well, you know, and for someone, I've never spoken in tongues. I've never experienced that yet. It is what it is, I guess. But I've been led by the Spirit to speak things to people. One in particular, there was a girl that goes to church with us. This has been years ago. Matter of fact, I was just talking to her husband yesterday, and we went over this very story that I'm about to share. But I was digging a ditch, hooking up a mobile home as mud, just digging, and the Lord just put it on me to send this girl a message, of encouragement. And I knew who she was. You know, we went to church together, but I never spoken to her, never. You know, I was like, really? You want me, you know? But here I am. Okay. And I don't remember what I texted her, you know, or messaged her, but it was exactly at the time when I sent it, she was sitting in her car outside of where she was working, just broken. And it was exactly what she needed when she needed. Here I was fussing about having to dig this ditch by hand in the mud by myself in somewhere in Brick County, hooking up a mobile home, you know, and the Lord stopped me, said, send this girl that you don't know very well a message, a very detailed and very kind message about things you don't know nothing about, and send it to her. And to this day, I don't know. I mean, I could go back and read it, but I don't, you know, like I was just in the Spirit, just typing what he was giving me, you know. And but as far as speaking in tongues, I've never, you know, the prayer language is just, dumb old redneck, like, you know, that's the only language I know. So, but again, that could all change in any time. And I, you know, but for some people out there that has never experienced it, I want to speak to those, because I've been in a place where I've had people tell me, well, you just haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, you know. And I want to encourage anybody out there that may not be the truth, because the Holy Ghost has worked in me mightily, you know, but I've never spoken any unknown tongue. And if there's anybody out there, there's nothing wrong with you, you know. And I don't want you to feel like you're doing something or not doing something, you know. Just trust the Lord. He's got a spot for you, too. So,
oh, praise God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, we got to do our first trivia question, and we're going to come back. We're going to take a break and then come back in here. Miss Hannah will lead us into the Kingdom Corner section, and y'all can keep rolling. I'm going to observe today. Can I observe? I'm just going to listen.
You took NyQuil too, didn't you?
Huh?
You took NyQuil
No.
too.
No, not yet. Not yet. How old was Jesus when he began his public ministry? Very easy question. How old was Jesus when he began his public ministry? We'll be right back here after the break on More of the Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
Hey, folks, if you enjoy the sounds of bluegrass gospel music,
I will meet you in the morning.
I'm James Coates, and be sure and tune in weekday mornings at 5:30 for Wagon Tracks.
I'm waiting at the gate.
Oh, yeah, we bring you some wonderful bluegrass gospel tunes and classics from yesteryear.
Walking in Jerusalem just like John, I won't be ready, I'll be ready.
It's Wagon Tracks Bluegrass Gospel Hour on the Box 2 Radio Network, Monday through Friday, 5:30 a.m. We're having a big old time. Be sure and join us. Wagon Tracks now celebrating 32 years of radio broadcasting.
Gonna be moving.
Gonna be moving. One of these days.
And yes, you can listen to our stream as well. Box2Radio.com. Box 2, the number 2 now. Box2Radio.com or download our free app.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. After World War II, the United Nations was created to promote world peace. But since its inception in 1945, there has not been a single day of complete global peace. That's a sad commentary on man's inability to make peace, isn't it? In fact, someone once quipped that Washington, D.C. has so many peace monuments because officials build one after every war. Well, in the future, Jesus will return to establish a kingdom of peace that will usher us into an eternal age of peace. In the meantime, he uses believers to proclaim the gospel of peace to a spiritually war-torn society. I pray you'll be a faithful ambassador of the gospel of peace. This is John MacArthur encouraging you to live as Portraits of Grace.
Thank you to Jay's Garage and KSM Performance for being a supporter and underwriter of the Box 2 Radio Network. Located in Clarkson, Kentucky, their slogan is "If it fits on a lift, they can work on it." They offer many different types of repair needs and performance tune-ups. For more information, their number is 270-230-6730, and they can be found on Facebook under Jay's Garage and KSM Performance. Thank you again to Jay's Garage for helping us build the kingdom of God by supporting the mission of the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, I got a couple of quick things to share, then I'm going to let Hannah have it. We do have an answer for that trivia question. It was 30 years old, and Crystal Taylor was the first one to get her answer right, and so her name's in for that. We got another easy question coming up here on the second trivia question of the day. And also there was a person who said, anonymously that they were praying for a Hispanic man in jail one time, and he understood every word that this person was praying.
Yeah.
And that he really didn't have a clue that the other guy could understand him. So,
well, I will share that just real quick. I think it was my preacher, Curtis, somebody was preaching in jail, And the Hispanic gentleman was there, understood every word that he went. Mm-hmm. And he was just preaching in English. Now, I don't know who it was. Now, I can't remember. I've got all my preachers that I talked to mixed up. So I don't know who it was. But whoever's out there that's listening knows who you are. But he was preaching a sermon in jail, and a Hispanic guy didn't speak English, understood what he did, and gave his life to the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, so praise God. Good.
That's awesome, ain't it? All right, Miss Hannah.
That's awesome. It had me thinking before I go into this too, like people that are tuned into the radio, because we have different countries overseas that have access to listen to the radio, and I pray that the Lord gives them supernatural ability to understand our language.
I believe He can do it.
I do too. I think He's done it probably a lot more than we realize, especially for people who don't have access to education,
absolutely,
and things like that, because He's so just. He's such a just God, and He's so merciful. So He knows, you know, everyone, and just like we said, He meets people where they're at. So,
amen.
I'm gonna go to Galatians 4.
Oh, I was a bit in there.
Really?
Yeah.
See? That's right.
My daughter made this bookmark for me.
Oh, that's sweet.
But it's right there on Galatians 4.
Well, there we go. I guess I'm being led to the right place this morning. So I'm just going to start in verse 1, actually. I was going to just read verse 8, but I'm going to go back to verse 1. So I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? And that's a question to make you think. And so when reading this, it just makes me think where I've been at in my prayer lately for people, and for myself too. Lord, guard me against going back and returning back. And there's been so many that I've interceded for lately that I've seen slip back into things, to turn back, and after having a radical transformation, kind of instead of being aware of those temptations, kind of slipping. And I think especially with new believers, that's something we all have to learn, is that we're going to have that spiritual high at first. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that adrenaline, that, like what we were talking about earlier, that we feel the rivers of living water bursting forth, and it keeps us on the path for so long. But then, as the worries of this life and the attacks start to come, we have to learn those spiritual disciplines, like we were talking about. And so with this scripture, that's where my mind goes back to, is, you know, and that's my prayer, is, Lord, don't let me return back to these weak and worthless things. I know it talks about elementary principles of the world, but to me, that is a mindset, because I believe where our mind is, that's where we follow. And so when I think about that, I think about the strongholds that He set me free from.
Amen.
The strongholds that I've seen Him set others free from. And you know, the Lord keeps reminding me that He who started a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. That's what He has kept reminding me, me lately, because I believe that the enemy, and I mean really our heart that's so deceitful, our flesh, wants to speak negative, wants to speak death over ourselves and over others, when we're not seeing the results we want to see. When we see people, and when we see ourselves starting to slip, we want to come into agreement with the words over their life or our life that, well, maybe, you know, just like Satan would whisper these lies, and, you know, with Eve and Adam, is, well, maybe they never really got saved. Maybe that encounter wasn't real.
Amen.
You know, and I think that happened. I know it's happened to me. There's been these lies of even doubting my salvation, like my whole walk with the Lord. And I just have to remind myself of the truth of what the Word says, that, you know, if if the blood was so weak that I could just, it could just be gone that quickly, then what was the point of the cross, you know? But the blood is so powerful. It's more, way more powerful than any struggle or stronghold that tries to come back, mm-hmm. and the old man that tries to rise up. And I think we just have to stir ourselves back up. Amen. I just feel that. Amen. Like, I don't know.
Paul said that to Timothy, remember?
Yes, stir up the faith. Yeah. Yeah, stir that up. And I think that we have to remind ourselves of all of these things instead of continuing to listen to the lies. I don't know if somebody's listening right now that needs to hear that, but I know that I have needed that. And I really deeply feel that there's many, whether you're a new, fairly new, believer, or someone who has just tolerated the devil's lies for way too long. And the lies that are strongholds that maybe it's not even the enemy. Maybe it's just things that we've believed and let live in our mind that are just not true. I think that the scripture speaks to that. And I believe that Paul here is also, you know, the heading is his concern for them. He's obviously interceding for them. He has a deep love for them, a care for them, and he's reminding them of what God did for them. But there's also correction that comes with that.
Wow.
He's correcting, you know, what they're doing. He's later on goes on to defend lies that were being spread and believed with the truth, and canceling out those lies with the truth. And I think that's where we're at right now is, as the body of Christ, we have to get past our, you know, timidity, the reserves that we have to be reserved and hold back the truth and just be passive. And we have to really take action. If we see a brother falling, if we see ourselves falling, reach out for prayer and don't go to isolation. Don't go back to those habits that we once had. You could say the elementary principles of the world, but I believe those principles are, you know, habits yep. of the world.
I mean,
what's accepted as normal. And I believe that that's how we're going to continue to move forward and endure and persevere, run our race and not turn back, is when we are open, when we reach out. We're not going to continue to stay in isolation. Even when we fall down, you know, the righteous one will get up.
Amen.
And so, yeah, this scripture, it just jumped out at me this morning. So, and I do believe it goes along with, you know, what I've walked through and what I have sensed others walking through right now. So I do hope that if anyone's listening, that you remember to stir up that faith.
Amen.
Don't continue to entertain the lies and the strongholds that you once thought. Take that captive, just like it's came up often lately, I think, with us working on the resurrection play and, you know, resurrection.
Amen.
Sunday's coming near, you know, that the events leading up to that, whenever, you know, Peter, it was told to him that he was going to deny Jesus, and then he did three times. But then Jesus came back and canceled that out and said that he was going to feed his sheep and that he loved him. He canceled that out and said that three times. And that comes back to me that, you know, of course, the word of the Lord is powerful, but the word that we have within us is powerful to cancel those lies out because we have him living on the inside of us. So speaking out loud and just pulling down those lies, pulling down those strongholds, when the lies come to us, I believe that is going to help us move forward past being pulled to go back to these elementary principles, being pulled back to wherever, however the temptation is, whatever it is that wants to pull us back, because it's different for all of us.
Yeah.
But it all boils down to lies and strongholds in our mind, I believe.
Amen. And I'm brought back to Moses here and his unbelief. You know, he didn't get to enter the promised land because of his unbelief. And it was, you know, people think because he hit the rock. It wasn't because that the fact that he hit the rock. It was his unbelief that led him to hit the rock. That's why. It wasn't the action. It was the state of his heart. And that's where we are at. Instead of believing the word of truth, we believe the word of the lies. And we don't get to enter in what the Lord has for us here and now.
That's a good word.
And you know, and we find ourselves bound because we just, for whatever reason, we can't believe that the Lord will do this for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the Lord will do that for them, or the Lord, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's because of our unbelief, you know, and a lot of time, again, you know, the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Another aspect of this is you don't know what to believe. You don't know what the Word says. You don't know what the Lord's will is for you, you know. And that comes from, you know, just having more time in the world than we have in the Lord. And as early believers, we're very vulnerable to fall back into that because we're used to the noise of the world, and we haven't got used to the voice of the Lord yet. So the voice of the world is so much louder. That's why discipleship is so important.
Amen.
In a young Christian's life. And I say a young Christian, it could be an old man or woman, but a young in their walk with the Lord is very important to be discipled and brought in and spoken into and spoken life into and encouragement into. And this is why we need to edify one another and to build each other up and not tear us down. He the without sin cast the first stone. When you see your brother fall, pick him up. Don't beat him while he's down.
Restore.
He knows. I mean, you don't have to tell somebody what their sin is. They already know. You know, you ain't got to point it out. They already know. They're battling with it, you know. Lift them up, you know. And I'm not saying condone it or encourage it. I'm just saying to lift them up, you know, and give grace and mercy and that was shown to you. And I'm reminded whenever I was born again, I didn't go to church or anything. You know, my story is different than most. I was just living my life, and the Lord just called me out. And I was like, you know, I went to him. But I remember specifically on my way to work one morning, it's like 4 in the morning or whatever, and I was driving, everything's dark. And the enemy told me, said, "You ain't saved. You don't believe this stuff." And I remember fighting in the cab of that truck within myself, tears rolling down my face. And I mean, it was a war within myself that I know. You know, and, I mean, it was a real battle. And I was physically exhausted by the time I got to work from that fight on my way. You know, I was working at Fort Knox there. But so the struggle is real. And, you know, there are people out there I know that battles with these voices that says that you're not enough, or these voices that says that you just can't get it, you know, it ain't true, you know, it ain't, it may have once been true, you know what I'm saying, but you were born again,
mm-hmm.
The old man has passed away, and behold, all things have come anew. So just hold on to the truth, hold on to that faith, hold on to that. If all you've got is your born-again experience, then hold on to it. You know, if that's all the experience that you've got, then you go back
praise
to that.
God.
And you
praise
plant
God.
That seed. Mm-hmm. You know, you plant that seed. It's like a mustard seed. It's small right now. But if that's all you got, you hold on to it. It will grow. Don't ever let it go. Don't ever walk away from it. Hold on to it. Whatever it takes, go back to that moment. If that's all you got, go back to that moment and hold on to that until you get through.
Yeah, you know, it kind of goes back to what Greg was saying a few weeks ago about not just occupying the gate, but taking possession of the gate. And so we have to recognize we have an enemy.
That was Aaron.
Did I say? I said Greg. I meant Aaron. I can't give you credit for something Aaron did.
Yeah, I don't want to take nobody's credit.
But anyway, praise God. But it is about possessing the gate and realizing that we have an enemy. And, you know, I think early on, because I had that experience of getting saved and just being in a very broken home and then not being able to fully walk it out for a few years. But the fear of the Lord came on my life. You know, I got married, and the eighth day after my honeymoon, I got radically touched from God again and then filled with the Holy Spirit a couple months ago, that poor man. But I will tell you this, that I had just an encounter with the fear of the Lord. And I believe that all of y'all can speak into this, that the fear of the Lord has really been lost in this generation. Jesus says that a man that lays his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Or when you backslide, you're like a dog returning to its vomit. And I want to please God. I want to please God. So even in all my brokenness, I hold to the promise that he that started the work will perfect it. but also have a fear of the Lord. I don't want to stand on that sea of glass one day and then just not have something to bring to God. Mm-hmm. Salvation's by grace. The blood speaks greater than Abel. Of course, one drop of the blood of Jesus can eradicate the powers of darkness around your life. I've seen the goodness and the mercy of God. But I also want, on that day, when I look into his eyes, for him to say, you understood. You understood the assignment. You understood, good and faithful servant, enter into the presence of God. Hmm. And so I want to walk in the fullness of what the Father has provided for me now. You know, you got to think about it. When you're, just to go back to Moses, an entire generation died in the wilderness. You know, they died in the wilderness and they weren't able to go into the promise. And so, but Joshua and Caleb was of a different spirit. And so if you're tuning in today and you're broken and you just feel that struggle of going back and forth, pray that the Lord would put that different spirit in you, that Amen. He just put that bulldog faith inside of you. Just say, God, I will not waver between two opinions. Mm. Stand in the face of it and say, God, I ask you to build me strong, that I won't be like the dog that returns to a vomit. I'm tired of doing going back and forth. I ask you to let my face be set like a flint toward the kingdom of God, and that even in my brokenness, even in everything that I'm going through, that I will always say, but God. Is it what Joshua and Caleb said? God, he sent the spies in, and they all came back with a report, right?
Yep.
They all came back. It goes back to that, you know, Mephibosheth being carried by the maiden. It said, and the report came that Saul had died. The report, what's the report that you believe? It's what you were saying, Hannah, when the enemy says, you know, you weren't saved. He's a liar. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians that he's given us the full armor of God. I told them on Sunday that to me, one of the greatest armors was it's that helmet of salvation. When I first got saved, I had to brainwash myself. I'm not kidding you. Like, I was crazy, literally mentally crazy, because I'm having to come out of brokenness and I'm supposed to be walking in this new life. And Hannah, I would take these scriptures that would say who I was in Christ, and I would walk the floors, wind my baby, because you're good, you know, baby. I'd wind up my firstborn Seth in the swing, and I would have to, Greg, walk the floors and tell the devil who I was in God, because I was always told, you'll never be nothing. Yep. Your mouth's too big. You're always going to get in trouble. I never felt the affirmation of love. You know, my mother loved me, but my father did not. But I had to recondition my way of thinking. And
be
so,
transformed by yes, the renewing of your mind.
In Romans chapter 12:1. And so I believe that, I believe a lot of people are not walking in the destiny that they have because they're not possessing the gate. Like, you can get saved, but you've got to go take that kingdom. Take that kingdom. Praise God. And I wanted to take a little different note here. I got to tell you this, Aaron, it's pretty funny. I went to a meeting in Corbin Friday night, and so on my way out, was such a powerful meeting. I'd never heard Pastor Aaron's coming, and I've never heard him preach. So I put in my address to come home. I forgot to put Cave City. So leaving Corbin, it's taking me toward Lexington. There happens to be a 16, I'm not going to tell my address online.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. But it happens to be my address is in Bardstown, too. So I'm struggling to drive to get home, and I thought, I need to hear Pastor Aaron preach. We've not even heard him preach. So that was your teaching on gates. So that's embedded in my mind. But you do, Elijah, you've got to possess the gate. You have to go beyond guarding. And I think we're all the time just guarding, like, oh, God, help me get through this. We got to stand our feet and say, like little Judy at church, no, devil, we're going to war.
Yeah.
We're going to war. We're going to see this thing through. God has given me everything that pertains unto godliness. You're not taking my kid. You're not going to destroy my marriage. You're not coming after my mind. You're not coming after my mind. Hannah, my mind was so just bombarded by the enemy. I remember there was this gas station, and my husband wasn't saved. And I mean, I was warring over my mind all the time. I mean, the enemy would just come, and he would tell me, you're not saved. You're never going to make it. Did you really get saved? You didn't get the Holy Spirit. He was coming after me so hard because let me tell you something. If you're really being fought by the enemy because he sees potential, He sees the gift of God on your life, and he's coming after you because he wants to stop your faith, Greg. Amen? So my husband goes into this gas station, and he's getting gas, and the minute he would get out, the warfare was so strong, I would start binding up the enemy. And I remember, Greg, looking this big glass window, and I'm in there just saying, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You loose my mind. I command the atmosphere to be conducive for the glory of God. And I look at my husband's got his head bent down, and the cashier's looking, and he's going, what are you doing? He didn't understand, because I was going to war, Aaron, until I brought my mind. And I remember one day going, oh, my gosh, I can kind of think straight.
You saw the result.
Yes, I saw it. And it's just, it's what Aaron said. You've got to possess your gut. You can't just, you've got to go further than just guarding and just being in that. You've got to be not just in the defense, but you've got to go after. Mm. And the kingdom of God suffer violent, and the violent take it by force, Hannah. You get up and you war and you pray when the enemy's coming after your husband. And you war and you pray when the devil's coming after your church. And you war and you shake that battleground and you say, I'll have it. Mm. And that's what Aaron, that's why God looked at Josh when he's going, I got a man. I could take him into the land. He's got these other 10 elders that's saying, oh, but you don't understand. It's too big. And God's saying, I can't. You know, God tested them, because where God was taking them, they could not be weak-kneed. Mm. You know, Canaan means the land of the bended knee. And I'm going to tell you, you will bend your knee to something. And God needed a man that he could take in there that would not bend his knee to those that were there. He needed a man that would stand in their face like Jeremiah and say, I will not be afraid. I'm going where God's going to take me. I feel the Spirit of God in here.
Me
I
too.
I get saved. Spirit
too.
Of God just
powerful.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to do this, but we have to go a legal ID. We have to do this one.
Okay, we'll just continue off the air and just jump right
stay
back.
Stay right in the flow. I don't want to mess it up, but I gotta. It's a legal one. I can't ignore this one. So
it's illegal.
It is a legal one.
We're breaking law.
All right.
Going to jail.
How many people were saved on the ark? How many people were saved on the ark? Sponsored by Haven Land Survey, and we'll be right back here after the break.
Box 2 Radio Network, WBFI 91.5 FM, McDaniels, Litchfield, Kentucky, WBFK 91.1 FM, Hinesville and Glasgow, Kentucky, WBFI 98.3 FM, Owensboro, Kentucky.
We would like to thank Higdon Land Surveying for being an underwriter and sponsor of Mornings with Box 2 Radio. Through their partnership, we are able to continue to spread the gospel to the nations. Higdon Land Surveying services Grayson County and all surrounding counties. They are located at 1265 Nelson Road in Clarkson, Kentucky. Their text phone number is 270-230-6752. Their email is higdon216@gmail.com. Thank you again to Higdon Land Surveying for being an underwriter and sponsor of Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Springtime of the year is all about planting seed, the time of year when things grow and come to life. Each year, the Box 2 Radio Network conducts our Spring Share-a-thon, and this year it's March 26th through 28th, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Our Spring Share-a-thon is so much more than raising money. We have special guests that share testimonies, awesome music, prayer, preaching, and instruction in the Word of God, and of course, lots of fun. The Box 2 Radio Network is a listener-funded radio ministry, and we need your financial support to help us reach our goal for this Spring Pledge Drive. We began our broadcast journey back in 1987, and we've come a very long way. But there are still things we want to accomplish, and we can, with the love and support of our listeners. It's March 26th through 28th. For more information, visit our website, box2radio.com, and we're on Facebook, too. This is a very special time for us each year, so please join us and partner with us. March 26th through 28th, kicking off at 7 a.m.
All right, we are back here. We have an answer for that trivia question. Brother Philip Trent got it right, 8 of them. All right, y'all keep the flow going. You ready to just go right back into it? All right.
We'll see what the Lord does.
Yeah, take her
Amen.
Off.
But wow, that's so good. Over the break, we were talking about. I was sharing how over the season that I've been out, for some reason I've reclused back a little bit into not speaking things out loud as much and being more quiet, and just thinking, you know, the truth in my mind, like when the lies come, just thinking the truth. But if you want to share kind of what you were speaking into that, Renee.
Well, same, you know, because Brother Philip is big on speaking the word, and he, you know, he talks about faith come by hearing the word of God, and it's so important to say it out loud, because we have to understand that the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. And I want to speak into that for just a little bit. You know, that's why Box 2 is so important. And God gave me a revelation of that one time, because, you know, God is in the third heaven. But in that atmosphere, in that the prince of the power of the air, I believe that's why Satan wants airways. Because he wants to cause the atmosphere to be inundated by lies and untruths. And so when we come and we speak on here, or others speak, or television, radio, whatever it is, you're speaking the word of God, and it's dissipating the lies. Mm. And so it's so important. And that's why I was saying I'd have to get up every day, Greg, and recondition the way I was thinking. Because you can't, you've been hearing for 20 years, you're no good. You know,
oh, yeah.
That Lauren Daigle, that song, You Say, you know, It's that was so good for this generation, because if you've heard it for 20 years, and I want to tell people, you're not going to just like, oh, wow, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. You have to really replace that way of thinking by saying it over and over and over. But what is the biggest weapon that Jesus used in the wilderness? It is written, Greg.
Yep. Mm.
It is written. Amen.
You know, for me, I have arrived to this point right now is to, just to believe. And, you know, through several different trials and, you know, leading up to this point, you know, I've come to realize that in these things, the Lord is in control. In my battles, in my struggles, the Lord is in control, and the Lord is building me. He's not tearing me down. He is, you know, Peter, he told Peter, Satan has, he's going to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for thee.
Amen.
Well, I mean, he's going to sift us all as wheat, because that's how we grow. So these things, when the enemy comes and I struggle, and even when I fall, you know, even whenever in whatever it is state that I'm in, I've said this before, I just present myself to the Lord with no covering. I just go to the Lord the way that I am. In my brokenness, in my struggles, what I'm dealing with, what I'm failing at, I take that right to the Lord. Say, Lord, you've seen me in this struggle. You've seen me presented to this. You've seen me fall. Here I am. Fix me.
That's good.
I go to him. I don't hold nothing back. I don't cover anything up. I don't, he already knows, you know, and whenever that become real to me, that's where my strength become. That's where my strength comes from. Knowing that the Lord is in control. He calls the shots, and he is for me, and he's not against me. And when these things come to me, they are to build me. You know, they are to strengthen me. They are to reveal some darkness that's in me that God wants out of me. Mm. You know, and things that I didn't know was there, but things that I'm tempted with that shows it's inside of me. You know what I'm saying? And or you or whoever's listening. These things that, you know, God doesn't tempt us, no. But what happens is he allows the enemy to present us with things to reveal that sin that's within us. Now, once it's revealed, it's just like when you turning over a garden for the first time. All the stuff's there, you got to turn it over and expose the roots so that what you don't want in there dries up from the root. Mm. If you just cut the top off, the root's still there, it comes back. The Lord has to expose
the sin that's
in us through these struggles and these trials. Mm. So when you find yourself in this, and man, it's so hard. Because you want to please the Lord. You want to do good. You want to go and do. And it's so hard to get over the self-condemnation, the stuff that we put on ourselves. Like, man, I just done it. I just can't, you know. Well, you know, the Lord can, you know. So in your, wherever it is that you are, just go to Him without any covering, without any kind of excuses or anything. Lord, I was presented with this. I give in to this. I did this. Here am I. Fix me. Fix me. Here am I. You know what I was thinking. You know I don't want to do this. You know I want to serve You. You know I want to live for You. But here I find myself in this. Fix me. You know, present yourself to the Lord. Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy.
Mm. I preach it. That is so precious.
Amen. Yeah, the Lord's been, it's just awesome how the Holy Spirit brings all things together. Because so much of what we've spoke on are things that I've been walking through lately too. And I feel like He's been showing me with exposing my heart to Him. Because I think from out of the fear of rejection or the fear of, that's something
failure.
That I've struggled with. Yeah, fear of failure.
Yeah.
And fear of abandonment. Like
disappointment.
Exposing something and being honest about something and then losing somebody because of that.
Wow.
Or losing something. And I know that I can't lose the Lord.
Like, amen.
Like,
that's
good, I can't lose God. So I can be honest with Him and real before Him. And there was something I was feeling in my heart. It was like a jealousy, and I didn't want to feel it. I'm like, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to feel this. This is my flesh, and I want it gone. Like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
I don't want this being birthed and turning into something worse.
Ooh, that's good word.
I don't want it birthing something, a worse sin, and growing. And like it says, and it talks about in James, you know, with the desire, starts off as a desire and then just snowballs into a worse and worse
good
sin.
Good word.
I don't want that. So I was just honest, and I really feel that was so freeing, because before, when I would just not bring it to Him and I would just keep letting it fester, it was like it would just kept snowballing. But just being more honest with Him right away and not even taking the time to think about it, because that's what I would do. Like, I would try to think on it on my own, but I'm called to lean not on my own understanding.
Amen.
So why do I try to think about it without His input, you know?
Yeah.
And so even what you are talking about, Greg, speaks into that of what the Lord's been showing me is, just bring it to Him right away.
Mm.
You know, it's a similar principle of like our, we've been doing the marriage series. Pastor Aaron's been going through the marriage on Sundays, and a series on that, and talking about how you have to communicate and you don't need to just let things fester. You need to resolve it right then and there. And I think it's the same with our relationship with the Lord. If there's something wrong, don't let it just sit and snowball, but be honest and bring
it. That's a good word.
And it helps so much in our marriage. So how much more will it help in our relationship with the Lord to be honest and not, you know, it says not to go to bed angry. Let's not go to bed angry with the Lord. Let's not go to bed with those things in our heart. And I know it's easier said than done. It's not easy to do because it hurts.
Amen. Amen.
It hurts, and it's shame. There's shame and condemnation that comes at us when we do expose those things to the Lord. But it's so freeing.
Mm. Good word.
And it keeps it from snowballing. So that's what that's what that kind of triggered my mind to, Greg.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the Lord, he's so good, you know, and I'm not. lately, you know, my kids, man, I learned so much by raising my kids, you know, and I'm not a patient guy. I'm not as patient. Wait, how's it? I'm better. I used to really have, like, zero patience, but I'm better now, and the Lord is still working on me, you know, and I find myself, you know, I'm just so mean sometimes, you know, and I don't want to be, you know, and I find myself that way. Now, I've gotten, like, a lot better now, and the Lord is really freeing me from this, you know, and is really doing a work in me that I can feel, you know, but before, you know, this is just recent. You know, I was just like, a mean nature that was that I thought was gone. You know, but it just, you know, the Lord was just, you know, I guess there's a time and a season for all things, you know, like in Ecclesiastes. And I guess the time was to reveal more of that was still left in there that I thought was completely gone. And I'm so thankful now that he has, just delivered me from that, because it's just, because I'd find myself that way, and it really no reason to be. And I just, I just say, Lord, you know my heart. I don't want to be this. I don't, this is not what I want to be, And he's fixing it, And he can fix it for whoever's out there. Some people, anger is very controlling, And for some people out there, like, you'll just be, like, full of rage for, and you don't even know why. At least I would. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. I don't know. But you it just comes over you, and you just don't know, I don't understand it either. But I do know that the Lord can change you. The Lord can take that away, whatever that is. That rage and that meanness that's in you, if you're just real with Him. You just got to give it to Him and just don't try to not be. Just tell Him what you are and ask Him to fix you. Because if you knew how to fix yourself, you wouldn't need Him anyways. You wouldn't even be struggling with it because you could just fix it. But it's there.
Amen.
And I don't know who needed to hear that today, but yeah, just Amen. Go to Him the way that you are. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to clean yourself up and then go, because you'll never get clean enough to go.
Mm-hmm.
So just mm-hmm. go and be real and ask Him to fix you.
I think that goes for every area in our life, Greg. I think it goes for the condition of our heart, the condition of our marriages, the condition of our families, the condition of our churches.
Amen.
Like, being honest with ourselves, like, not just continuing to sweep things under the rug and act like everything's okay, but actually confronting that sin, confront mm-hmm. the struggle, confront the enemy, confront the principalities and the strongholds. Like, let's break out of this, like Renee was saying.
Amen.
like today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of mercy. Today is the day to, choose this day who we're going to serve. And I believe that it's just double-mindedness, really.
Good word.
I really think that's, the Lord has revealed that's something like a stronghold that has been, like, repeated in my family over and over and over. He's shown me that, and He's shown me that I have to fight against that. But I believe it's bigger than that. It might be a principality. I don't know. It's just, it's an issue in the body of Christ for sure.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful that, He gives us the way out of that. He gives us the tools and the truth to set us free from that and to be, to have our mind on Him, to break out of that, to be like Joshua and Caleb and not continue in the cycle, but to keep saying, but God, it just all wraps around and connects.
That's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm listening. I'm just listening away in here. I'm listening to everything. It's good stuff. If you got a Bible question, if you got something that you would love to engage on, you got something you would like to add to or take away, the takeaways go to Hannah, the add to's go to Greg. All right. It's so good to be with you guys. 270-230-6337 is the number to text there. And
we had a text come in. Miss Lisa said, sounds like confessing faults to one another reminds her of praying for one another that you both be healed.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Greg, I want to say I just appreciate your transparency. I feel like men, and I just love this, I feel like Sister Judy was saying Tuesday night, she feels such a resurgence of God working in men right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's just not just, one little conference here or this or that or whatever. God is doing this collectively across, the body of Christ. But I, men that are tuning in today, hearing your sharing, your transparency, men are called to be tough. You shouldn't cry. Boy, you need to straighten up. Pull up your bootstraps. But I feel like being vulnerable before the King of Glory is mm-hmm. the most beautiful place. Broken, John the Beloved that laid upon his chest just that brokenness. And I think that, You know, when you're able to go to God and just say, God, hineni, that's a Hebrew word, hineni, here am I. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord just comes and he just reaches into that broken place. And you just spoke about it with the anger before that, about God breaking up that fallow ground, breaking up sin. I kind of turned my hand to gardening the last couple of years. I don't know what I'm doing, okay? But anyway, but I have. And I've noticed, like, goodness, you've got this plan and it's doing great. And all of a sudden you cut down, you're pulling up those weeds that are getting huge and they've got thistles on them. But if you don't go out and dig it from the root up, it just springs right back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think so often we're chopping down the fruit and not getting to the root.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, Lord, I seem to be having a burden or a problem in the area of anger. I ask you to lay your finger. When the finger of God is laid on something, that's what Jesus said, right?
Yeah.
Then the kingdom has come unto thee. Father, put your finger on that root. What is the root? And God might take you back to the door that got opened at 4 years old. That was the first time I saw abuse in my dad's home. 4 years old with anger, just rage. When God puts his finger on the root, then you can see that door got open and you say, God, Holy Spirit, go back to the day that that thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
The imagery in my mind, the pain, the seeing my dad lash out in anger toward my mom, and then heal that root. And then some of it is just forgiving ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to forgive ourselves. You know, we want to forgive everybody else, but sometimes we need to say, Lord, I forgive myself. Because I can never be what you was and what you are. And I thank you that it's you that's in me that's going to be anything good. Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. I need to pray that every day. Seriously. Well, oh, man, so much good stuff. When you were saying that about the men, sorry, Aaron, are you going to go somewhere?
I'm just listening.
Okay.
This morning.
When you were saying that about the men, it reminded me of, like, David and so many throughout the scripture of how, you know, they didn't stay, and there was a time and a place for the more, you know, get your bootstraps strapped up and let's go.
Yep.
But before that is when that time of vulnerability and, like, getting filled up with the Lord before you got to battle, before you go and are, you know, mighty in war and aggressive. Like, it takes that time with the Lord in the secret place to really empower you to be aggressive and have that what the Lord's called men to be on the battlefield or in anything, not just a battlefield, but whatever we do. And then it also reminded me of the Lord spoke, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but was just speaking a lot and showing me a lot through the story in Judges with during the time of Deborah and the time of Gideon.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people, like, I had heard so many people, the Lord speaking and taking them there in scripture and where we're at right now in the body of Christ. And I just really, I do believe that, like, and you know, you've heard this preached and talked about of how it seems like, and I mean, Pastor Aaron's talked about this, of how there was such a season in the church, you know, in America, of where the women were the ones doing everything. I mean, not doing everything, but, like, interceding and praising, and you just weren't seeing men step up spiritually and leading, and it has a lot to do with the fatherlessness issue in our culture and everything.
Amen.
And so I just felt like the Lord showed me that there's been a time of the Deborahs and I think that we should still arise, that women should still arise, but I don't believe it was ever supposed. We've talked about this too on the radio. I don't believe that Deborah was originally supposed to lead like she was.
He wouldn't go.
But they wouldn't go.
He wouldn't
Nobody
go
would.
Went.
Nobody would. The men were called, but they just weren't stepping up.
Yeah.
But I believe that we are transitioning into that time of Gideon, because the time of Gideon comes after, and he was a mighty warrior and he was called.
Ooh, that's good.
And
that's,
like,
good.
I looked it up just to make sure, but that the timing actually, it did follow that time of Deborah, the time of Gideon. They were alive during the same time, but the time of his, you know, when he was called, did come after.
Well,
that.
Good word, Hannah.
So I just believe and I declare over our, you know, over our generation now, that we are transitioning into that time of Gideon, because even in the time of Deborah, you know, Barak went went with her, you know, and we don't need, we need men to be in their place because that's how God designed it. And there's just such a power that comes from men stepping up in worship and leading spiritually. And, Aaron, you know, he's been on this soapbox for, I don't know how long of, I mean, even with the marriage series, he really hit on the men so much of, because, whenever that gets in alignment, everything else is going to flow in alignment. Whenever the leaders get in their proper place.
Yeah, and well, so, that's what my son-in-law was saying. He was that came to hear you. He sat across from Pastor Paul, and I said, "Well, how was it?" Jalen's kind of funny, because my daughter asked him, said, "How was it?" She said, "Did you enjoy it?" He said, "Oh yeah," like that. And I said, "Well, what did Pastor Aaron say?" And he said, "Just about getting men coming to their place," and he said, "Man, he just brought it. He just said it just like it is." But, you know, I will say for a lot of women, they struggle. And I shared this with them on Sunday because Kenny really poured out his heart about the men's conference. He just loved it. He really enjoyed you coming and just all of the past, just everybody. But, you know, I said because you remember I was stronger for a long time and now God is bringing my husband. And it's really hard when you've been stronger and then your husband's come into that place, Greg.
Yeah.
But I will say the transition's been so good for me because I will never forget something you said, Aaron. I'm writing all this, and I'm sure you get this, Hannah, all with him and Greg every week too. But you can't come in without honoring the generation before you. That got tattooed on me somewhere, okay? And I'm not a tattoo person. I will never forget that. But you have to honor the generation that's before you, because if you don't, it's really going to not bring unity. And my husband always honors me. Like, you know, the transition's coming and we see the shift and they can see the shift at church and we see the shift in our home. Just, it's been beautiful to watch. But he didn't step on me to get where he's going. And I could weep because I'm sitting here watching God transform my husband so much and watching the glory of God, all of us. It's been such a gentle move, but it's not, he subdued me to come up. He honored the generation. He'd say, you know, Renee, I've always trusted the voice of God in your life. And, you know, it's been so good. A gentleman asked him one time, he said, "Has that been hard to have your wife, like, hear your wife?" He said, "No, I've loved it." And for a lot of men, that would have been a struggle. But for him, he honored it. And I believe that goes back to what you said. If you will honor what's been, God will take you where you've not been.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm speaking to a lot of wives. You feel that transition. And to men, Greg, you have to honor. You can't subdue your wife.
Yeah.
You have to uphold her and honor. And I believe that transition will just start shifting just like that. It'll be a smooth shift. You ever been like in the cog of shift? You ever seen somebody try to drive a 3-speed like they're just beating it? And that's what it is in a house where there's no honor.
Yeah.
Once you lose honor in anything, marriage, relationships, church, family, if the honor's not there, then you're going to feel that shift.
You lost your clutch.
Oh, my God. Okay, I got to write that down, Greg. Honors the clutch, okay? Honors the clutch. And I remember, that's how I learned 3-speed on the column.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful shift. Oh, don't you love that when you're driving and you feel that shift?
Most people probably don't even know what you're talking
about. They
don't
even know what I'm talking about.
I can picture it. I don't know.
You don't know? Oh, I love it. And you know, and here's the thing. You're up on a tall hill, and a lot of people can't drive because they can't hold that clutch. And so honor, and just so that was so good what you spoke when I first came about a month and a half ago. It's just so good because if you can't honor, you can't feel, you won't be able to go. And so for a lot of men, and God are raising men up, so be sure that you honor the Deborah, you honor your wife, you honor those that served, kept the lights on, kept going when you weren't able to get there. And I believe the transition will just become smooth. Amen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to go to break again.
You do. I want to say this because I'm like you, Miss Renee. A lot of times I do get these mental pictures and these things the Lord uses to speak to me. And as you were saying that, I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we confuse inadequacy with incompleteness. And I think sometimes there are two different things, that just because something is incomplete doesn't mean it's inadequate. That there's more fullness to come, but it doesn't mean you're helpless or you're hopeless. And the Bible talks about the kingdom of God is like a seed that starts out really small, but then it grows into this massive tree. And the tree begins to give shade for the city. And in this tree, birds of the nest can find air. And I feel like for a season, there was a season in the body of Christ where the woman was providing the shade.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
And what happens so often then is the men now are starting to grow. Like, you can see it, even in your own life, you give this testimony. And what I can see, like what I see in the picture, is not the shadow cast by the man pushing the woman out, but together they two grow. And the man completes the shadow that's been missing. Mm-hmm. There's a shelter and there's a covering. And what I see is not a transition of giftings, because God's given you a word. What it is a transition of coverings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Preach into that.
And I don't think, like, even with, you know, I think what happens so often is we say the man's got to do this, they got to do this. The man's responsibility in the covering of the house is the covering. It's the prayer. It's the support. It's the protection. It's a self-sacrifice to wash our wives as Christ has washed the church with the word of God, to really be there, to lay our life down, to undergird. It's not about chauvinism. It's not about bossing. It's about love, honor, respect, undergirding, creating the safe space. It's, men, we've got to allow this seed that's in us of covering to grow so that our wives can feel secure, our children can feel secure. It's not about pushing our wives out of the way. It's about growing together and completing the shade, because two's becoming one. And I can just see this as, like, the woman for so long has had her hands out shading.
Oh, come on.
But she's not pushed out of the way. He just grows.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
And the shade is growing stronger.
Oh, come on.
And
that
so there's
is
a,
so good.
You know
what,
canopy.
What I see when you say that, I keep thinking on a battlefield for some reason. All day I've been thinking, like, battle. But, like, exactly what the picture that you're saying, but the husband and the dad being the shield.
Oh, wow.
So, like, he's, come like, on. The shade coming up is, like, the shield.
Mm-hmm.
And not that it's keeping us from fighting any battles, but we're fighting it together. And we're not being hit by the arrows that we were hit by, because he's taking it.
Oh, that is so good. Good, good, yeah. Good. Good. That is such a good word.
Go ahead.
Just
no,
coming
go ahead.
Into that place and being able to trust God, you know. And I think so often we put a face to our faith. And, you know, we're all going to let each other down. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, and I spoke into this about a marriage, because you said, asked me a few weeks ago, speak about believing God for your marriages. And I said, you know, you can never let your husband validate you. They can love you and support you, but there will always be that day they'll let you down. Mm-hmm. And when you trust God, even when you don't know everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you've walked through, you know, a betrayal or whatever it is, and you just want, there becomes suspicion and jealousy and all this kind of stuff. And women struggle to, or men, whichever it could be, to let their marriages work. You don't never trust a man or trust a woman. You trust God.
Amen.
And you believe that God is the one that is able to do what you cannot do. He's the God of the hidden place. He's the God that is able to go where you cannot see and cover. So even above the man, Hannah, is the greater covering.
He's gone. He's the greater shield.
Yes, he's the greater shield. So
he's like the force field.
He's the force field. Amen. And so, but it's just tenderly watching that. And I've told some people, like, I remember who I was telling about Greg, how it's just been great to come in here and not know him, but me teaching Hebraically, to see how God is just, he's taught him by the Spirit. He didn't get this. He wasn't, like, he told you, he was kind of rough, right, Greg?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it was kind of rough.
But Greg has learned by the Spirit how to father and how to love. And so I believe a lot of it is, it's not even like, you don't have to go to seminary to learn that. Mm-mm. Or cemetery, whatever you want to do. You don't have to go learn that. Greg just coming to God all the time and saying, I want to be a better husband. What does that mean? And God, what does that mean? And then Greg just, I want to be a better father. Just that rawness, gosh, if every man could have that rawness that Greg's talking about, I believe that God would just transform their whole life, Aaron.
Yeah.
When we come back from break, if we're going to take it, something else I was wanting to talk about too, but it's going to take me a minute to bring it all up. But it's about, you know, another thing. I'd say there's a lot of people kind of got this kind of I don't know. We'll see after break. But
we don't really have to do break. That's not a legal one. So
I'll just roll on to it then if you want.
I don't care a bit.
All right. Well, so what I struggle with being a dad is my boy. I wouldn't change anything in my past now because it's got me where I'm at now. But now I look at my boy, and he is so good. He's just good. And I'm teaching him, everything. But then there's part of me that, and I think it's just the world that's still stuck in me that hasn't got out yet, that fears, am I making him tough, as the world says. Does that make sense?
Am I making him tough enough?
Yeah, because everybody's that's had any experiences, there ain't nothing easy out there. There's mean people, and there's nothing is handed. Everything is a fight. Everything is it's a work. It's tough, and you gotta be tough. So I struggle with that. And that's another thing too, but. This conversation, man, it's just really helped me out in this, just like everything else, take it to the Lord. Hey, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm going to do, I want it to be strong, and I want him to be a provider and a protector of his family. I want him to be, not to be, like, I don't ever want to act like I'm somebody, what I'm saying? But if the time comes, I want to be that somebody that's mm-hmm. going to take care of whatever is necessary. Does that make sense? Know what I'm saying? I don't want to be nothing to nobody. But if something ever happens, I want to be able to deal with whatever comes. If you know what I'm saying? It's not putting anything on me. I'm putting my faith in the Lord. But again, I teach him, but I was taught, if somebody starts it, well, you finish it. That's what I was taught. Well, I'm teaching him to walk away, until you can, but again, that's not
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's a hard thing that I struggle with myself, and I know I'm not the only
think you're alone in that. And even I'm sure specifically with the toughness and that for men, but I think parents in general, I'm learning this now even with a baby because my mind starts going way in the future thinking about when he grows up. Yep. And I think there's two things that the Lord's reminding me of, and I thank you for bringing that up because it's ministering unto me because I have fears and that I'm stewarding him right and going to raise him right. And the good thing is it's not all on you. It's you and your wife together. It's not all on me. It's me and my husband together, and then God. But two scriptures come to my mind, examples. One, Hannah dedicating Samuel to the Lord. She was there. She was still covering him in prayer, but it was the Lord who was shaping him and calling him into who he was called to be and who was speaking unto him, molding him. And she released him. And I think that, but she never left. She still came back. She still checked in. She still prayed. Yeah. But the other example, oh my gosh, don't leave me. What's my other example here? Oh,
he never leaves you.
So it's not a story, but the scripture of, that Paul, that one sows, another one waters, but it's God who brings the increase. Yeah. So I believe that you're going to sow, your wife might water, somebody else might water, somebody else that the Lord brings in their life, a teacher, whoever, but the Lord's bringing the increase, and nothing that you do will ever be wasted, nothing that you teach him, but the pressure isn't all on you, and it's not on me.
That's a good word.
Because the Lord, his shoulders are built for carrying it, ours aren't. And that's why his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And I'm just reminded of that we're sowing the seeds and we might not see it, come to fruition, but the Lord's going to give the increase and take care of them. I just think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves, and we are stewarding the kids that God gives us, but it's him who's going to stick with them.
Well, and that's another thing too. So sometimes I feel sorry for him when he comes out to the garage with me. I make him come out there sometimes with me just to get him out of the house or whatever. He's, oh man, I gotta go work with Dad. He's gonna yell at me. You know what I'm saying? But I've told him, you know, and I tell him too, you know, I say, listen, you know that I'm impatient and I'm all these things, you know, but this is never you. This is never your fault.
Oh,
that's a weakness in me, you know, and I explain that to him, you know, I try to be real, you know, always. I just worry about, you know, as, cause I, all the stuff that I've experienced and, you know, that's got me to where I am now, you know, you just worry, you know, am I wanting to be tough, but I don't want him to feel like he has to be. If that makes any sense, you know, and I've always told him that you don't ever have to prove yourself to me. You know, I've told all my kids that because they play sports and they do the things. And therefore, when I said, you're not proving anything to me. You don't ever have to feel like that's what you got to do. But anyway, now that's one thing, though, that I worry about because he's awesome. You know, I can ask him to do anything. You know, he just goes and does it. That is totally not ever the way I was. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and he's just a really good kid, and that's wanting to be a really strong man one day when he grows up. You know, so.
Yeah, amen. It's a good discussion. I think that's something all fathers process and work through it.
It's a hard struggle for me as a dad. You know.
Yeah, because as men, we've got to be tough enough to fight the bear in the middle of the woods to save our family, but also gentle enough to rock our baby girl to sleep at night.
Yeah, to go braid her hair and play Barbie dolls too.
But can we backtrack for a minute? There's a scripture I wanted to feed off of Miss Renee a minute ago. And I think this conversation is really good. So I don't want to that's why I was trying to be quiet and just let you all finish it because it's really good and I think it's helping people. But you were talking about men earlier and we were talking about the covering and we were talking about moving. This is a scripture I wish I would have been able to get to more. Do you have something, Miss Renee?
No.
Oh,
no.
That I would have got to more this last Sunday, but I was running out of time between submission and intimacy, and I was trying to get both of them in. But 1 Peter 3:7 is a scripture that a lot of your feminists and a lot of your other ones really use to come against it and call it misogyny and call it all these kind of things. But it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. I'm just going to stop there for a second. In reality, this is a real big push to men because it's the first verse of 1 Peter 3 is talking about woman or wife submitting to a husband. But now this is saying that a husband is actually supposed to live in such a way that you're understanding and sympathizing with the needs of your wife.
Amen.
That you're supposed to hear them, you're supposed to understand them, and you're supposed to understand that there's a way to show honor to the weaker vessel. And the weaker vessel is not inferiority, because the next verse is, since there are heirs with you of the grace of life. They're heirs. Like, these are co-heirs. These are equals. So it's not saying women are beneath men. What it's meaning is that men are stronger. Like, we just are stronger. Like, you, if you put a men's team versus a women's team, you can put the best basketball players. You can take a WNBA team and play a high school boys team, and they're competing. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just really true. And it's been proven. Like, it's just the strength, the speed of a man is stronger. And that's what Peter's saying here, is that we're not saying belittle them because they're heirs with you of grace of life. But I want to say all that to men, to say there's some men out there, and I've learned this the hard way. Your prayers don't feel like they're being answered.
Amen.
You just feel like you're hitting this rock wall, and Peter's given us a possible solution so that your prayers may not be hindered. Because Peter's paralleling our inabilities to be a strong husband with the ear of God being shut off to us.
Wow, come on.
And that's what 1 Peter 3:7 saying. Amen. In our inability or our unwillingness to live and show honor to our wife and to love them well and to meet the needs of them and to understand they are co-heirs with you in the grace of life, he's saying, do this so that your prayers may not be hindered. But in all honesty, what he's basically saying is sometimes men's prayers are not being answered because we're not honoring our wives well and we're not loving them well.
I have something to add to that, if I can, real quick. You know, we have everyday dishes, okay? They're unbreakable. You throw them on the ground on the front. I don't know what their melamine or whatever that stuff is. But then I have special dishes that are in my office that my mother-in-law, they're beautiful dishes. I would never put this china in a dishwasher. They don't have that rough, tough, throw on the ground, break, everyday use. They're special. And when I see that scripture, and I've heard this before too, the weaker vessel, it's that china is beautiful. I mean, it adorns a room.
Yeah.
It takes the special place of the house, okay? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't do that rough, tough stuff. And so I think so often when we think weaker, like she's just weak, she can't do anything. Remember I told you the story in Genesis when he said, let me make him a helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
The word is Ezra Kenito. And that means warrior princess. It wasn't like she's going to be a doormat. God took the woman from his side. When Jesus is at Calvary and he's mm-hmm. dying, his side was pierced because he's the second Adam. And that side mm. where he pours out, he's buying and purchasing the bride of Christ.
Mm.
Just as Eve was taken from Adam's side, so are we taken from Messiah's side. Mm-hmm. We become his bride.
So
we're
good.
Not we're not on the ground. We're not a doormat. We're his side. We're that Ezra Kenito. And you mentioned this kind of with Heather that day at that place. Like Heather's like, Aaron, she's not trying to usurp your authority. She's pulling out the king in you. And so a lot of times men will be like, don't tell me what to do. But what they don't understand is a woman has something that she can pull the king out of him.
Mm-hmm.
If he will not be this push and pull and this, you know, get out of my face. I'm going to do what? I'm going to run this house. He has to understand she is a vessel for the master's use to pull the greatness of God out if she's in her place and she understands what that is. And so I see a woman as just special and to be adorned and love and fix your coffee and like my husband does for me. But if he honors that and then she will love him back. Because that man has got, he does have a strength. When I'm going to pick something up heavy, I can't pick it up. I know my place and knowing what I can and cannot do. And Kenny's my covering. Like, he'll say, don't worry about it, Renee. We've got this. I trust him. I've never had to worry about him providing for our family. He protects us in every way. But also, he understands that I bring something to the table in our household. He'll say, I don't know, Renee will fix it all up. I built the room. Now you go pretty it up. You make this. Or he knows that I've got the heart of our children. Like he has to work. He goes to bed. Mother keeps up that midnight. She's that Proverbs woman, you know. And so we're not weaker in the sense that we're to be stepped on. We're that Ezra Kenito. But you got to remember, woman, Ezra Kenito, that contending with that man is not contending for his place. It's you're contending to bring the king out in him.
Yeah. We hit on this Sunday morning. And I want to push that a little farther because I'd love to get your input on the both another side of that coming from a different angle. I always joke around, and it's always dangerous when you joke around like this in public because everybody's going to think that's what you think about your wife, but it's not. But the New Living Translation says Proverbs, a nagging wife is a leaking faucet. And so we use that scripture Sunday morning. We really did. And what I want to know, if you back up a little bit in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4, it says, but let your adorning, talking to women, be hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is God's sight, is very precious. So as men, sometimes we struggle to hear what our wives are saying because we're nagged so much. And it feels like we're trying to be fixed instead of trying to be edified. So how does a woman communicate these things to a man as a helpmate without becoming this leaking faucet?
Well, that really is good because I've been both and probably more on the leaky faucet side because, you know, like you're a go-getter, that kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
but I think it's a real question that we have to figure out communication-wise.
Again, it goes back to trusting God. If you really trust God, and I think so often we don't really fully believe that God's got our back, but if we trust God, then we trust that he's going to do what his word says. His word will not return to him void. So if you honor that and you love, it goes back to the woman sitting beside her husband on the fish bank, remember?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say she fished all day long, doing what he loves to do. I think sometimes it's, and it's, you know, it's not even about so much like nagging, because sometimes you do have to push a little. You know what I'm saying? You do have to get him to push a little bit that. But the place that you can find that you just, it's not a hill to die on, practice there. Because mm-hmm. there are hills to die on.
Yeah, sure.
There were for me, like when it come to morality, my husband will tell you it was a hill she'd die on and she'd take the whole house down. We were going to honor God, saved or unsaved. You were not going to defile my home. And mm-hmm. that, you know, I've seen a lot of women that was like, well, you know, he's not saved. You're not going to defile my home. I was the Deborah, okay, in that part. But I think there's so many places, there are hills that you don't have to die on. Practice in those places, you know. Maybe you have to wait a little bit longer to get something done around the house, or maybe you have to wait a little bit longer watching him grow in an area in his life. It's really trusting God, but it also goes back to just praying a lot. You got to have a life of prayer.
I'm telling you, I never got, it seemed like Ethan does not want to listen to it. Like, he listens, but like when the Lord speaks it to him, he immediately does it.
Amen. Amen.
When I speak it, it might take a long time for him to weigh it out, process it. He's not just going to do it because I say it, even though I know he respects what I'm saying, mm-hmm. but he wants to like weigh it out and fight against it. But like the times that I've prayed, and he'll tell you, he'll agree, the times that I've prayed it through, if the Lord speaks it to him, he will immediately do it.
Absolutely.
He listens. And then later I'll be like, well, I prayed that.
It's a life
like
of
I was praying, and he'll be like, were you praying about this? And I do believe that the prayer is the most important thing. And I think it helps if we're praying about it, then it helps us to not be
anxious
in the right attitude or wrong attitude.
Yeah. Trusting God.
I guess this is just my confession day. I don't know what's going on here today, but
so we had the confessional music come on.
I guess so. Doo-doo. But for me, you know, and you know, for an order, you know, my wife or whatever, I felt like she wasn't doing what, you know, what I thought was right or whatever. I asked the Lord to fix me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, come on.
I said, you know, I said, Lord, I'm selfish. I want this, this, and this. Lord, not my will, but yours. Fix me and, you know, and change me. And whenever he started making changes in me, the changes in me made the changes in her.
Oh, come on.
And,
what
you
a
know,
word.
And my thing is, sometimes when we ask amiss to fulfill our own lusts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's, I don't know where that's at. It's in there too. But mm-hmm. you ask amiss just to fulfill the blessings with your own lust or whatever it is. But all that to be said was, you know, most of the time in my experience, I'm usually the problem. You know, I'm usually the problem's right here. And, you know, everybody, we all got our deals, you know, we all got whatever. But the main thing is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So whatever it is that you're dealing with, ask the Lord to change you in a situation, because what happens is your perspectives change and the things that you're looking at changes, and you don't see what you may have seen the other way. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, the Lord works that way.
Well, that is a prophetic word right there.
That's really good.
Tell you that. And I think he just answered that for you. And then I think when you get to that place, oh, Lord, this is not even just about marriage. It can be about any relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? On your job, you know, whatever it is, it's like, Lord, change me. So if your focus comes back on you, because you know, I go back to Charles when he preached one day at church, and it was number 9. You know how you just like 10 points, but number 9 hit me. He said, if you're being agitated, it's something in you triggered.
Wow.
And so, that's boy, good. We have triggers. And so, you know, like just being able to say, Lord, why am I not more patient with my husband? Why am I? And it can go both ways. You
absolutely
know what I'm saying?
Should.
What is it in me that is just constantly at this man? And I will say something with men, and I'm not a man, but I can tell you this. I will tell you that when you pressure a man, his mind turns off. It does.
Yeah.
I don't know what it does.
He'll dig
it goes
in.
The opposite way. Like, they can't handle it. I mean, you're not a multitask person. Women are multitask, And I think men, they don't think, they're not really that big to think outside the box. They're like, let's feed, hunt, kill, shade.
Simple. Everything.
There's everything simple. Very simple. Yes. I remember taking a trip with my husband, and we drove like 6 hours, and the man never opened his mouth. And I'm like, then you get there, it was a car show. And he talks to every man in the place. I'm like, what are you?
Well,
I think men are just different. And I believe if you will just realize that you've got everyday dishes and you've got china, you realize your place, you will stop being frustrated. And sometimes you just need to call your girlfriend up and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. Because they just, that was my heart too, and the heart of the ladies at our church is, men need men. You all need each other. Women all have this, like, you know, remember Fireproof? She's like, they're comforting her because Kirk Cameron's, and they're just like, oh, honey, you know. But in the story, he only had his dad.
Oh,
men don't have men.
That's true.
Men need men to say, hey, what do you do when your wife is just constant? Well, you know, younger men teaching older men and older men teaching younger men. And that multi-generation of piling on and loving each other. But God's doing that.
Yeah.
But I think it goes, he answered it right there. If we would just say in every situation, and I mean, I need this word today, Lord, just fix me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Neil Anderson talked about that. You know, remember, you ever heard Neil Anderson, the bondage breaker? He said he was in this situation with this guy. It was every Monday on the board meeting. And he said this guy did not, he's like bucking heads every single day on the board. He said, I hated Mondays when it came. He said, but that man was the man that changed more in my life than anybody else. Because God, I was just like, okay, God, you got to change me. And he said, I don't know if the man ever got changed, but he said, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So maybe the situation won't get changed, but what Greg's saying, what will happen to you if you will let God change you in it?
Let me say this about men. We are thorough. Like, so whenever, I don't think we're simple. I think what we are is we go so deep with one thing.
Okay.
It's like, so men don't like to process other things until we got this one thing figured out. I was actually helping a couple the other day in some counseling, and they were talking about this, and the wife was saying something along the lines of, well, how was your day? How was you this? And I was like, you're overwhelming him. Like, because he's got all these problems in his day, and you're trying to get him to talk about problems from 3 p.m., and he's still thinking about the problem from 9 a.m. And guys like to process something, get that solved, and then move on to where women are built a little bit different. They won't worry
about everything.
They're the overarching.
Yeah.
they're overarching.
Tell 1,000 things, and I've seen my husband look at me sometimes like,
yeah,
you're making me tired.
We're still on number 3, and you're on 1,013. Yeah. And it's just how we processed it, because we like
That's
to go to so deep.
That's good to know.
And another thing, too, I'll say this about men to go with what Aaron's saying is, too, women, they from my experience, I ain't a woman, so I don't know, but just what it seems to me is like you're all's emotions attached to a lot of situations where men can be in a situation and not be emotionally attached at all.
How can we get that?
I don't know. But
I don't think that's always a good thing. I think that...
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing sometimes because we turn it off. And I think emotions are a really good friend. They're a poor master, but they're a good friend. Yeah. And I just think this is the way, and we've talked about this, I think the second or third sermon of the 4-week series was about communication and how we communicate different and how we talk different, how we think differently. And it's like women will look at a drum set and just say, oh, they're playing it. Men think about it. I wonder what that wood is made of around that. Yeah. I wonder how that
what the torque spec is.
Yeah,
on that,
I wonder.
To get that snare
I wonder
to
if I had
right.
a torque wrench, what it's going to be, or if I take that apart and I do it this way, does that change it?
Yeah.
And that's just how we're different.
Can I say something
real
quick?
We
have to get off of here. We have like a few minutes. I think what I'm learning from this, and I've learned from, is like there's this need to want to relate to each other. And there is, like, I think the Lord will bring common ground between us and help us find a balance. But I think we've lost the value of learning from each other.
Wow.
And, like, complimenting each other is so that we are different, so that we can help each other in our weaknesses. And, like, the simpleness or, like, the reducing to, like, less things is actually refreshing for us women who might get stressed easily by all of the things, you know? So I think just letting the differences actually help us learn from each other and add something to us rather than trying to be the same.
Yeah. That's good. That oh, wow. Good. That's so good.
Well, we are out of time. I can't believe it. We are out of time, but the 2 hours are up. I'm going to leave us with this one text message. And this person said, loving this morning's conversation, and her husband will definitely benefit from her listening. Thank you, guys. Love that text.
I love that. Who was that? No, I'm kidding. He's not going to tell.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Love you all. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.